Hi, and welcome to episode 65 of Fully Boosted, a War Machine and Hordes podcast. I'm Grant.
I'm Ryan.
I'm Third.
And I'm Pete.
And we did it right this time. It only took three tries, which you're not going to hear, but it got done.
We're already way over the shark right now, so be ready for a shit show.
No, we're not shit showing.
We can't get all the stats right. No, we're
not. And we're going to say that everything is awesome, and we're going to give positive uses for that awesomeness.
Well, that's not fun.
we'll just fucking shoot from the hip.
Why would I want to do that?
Like I said, shit show.
Yeah. That means I have to like do research and look things up. I don't want to do any of that shit. So we have the MAT coming up this week, the Mid-Atlantic Team Tournament, which we're all real excited about. We're going to jump
in. Speak for yourself.
All right. I am excited for that. We are going to... We had a dynamic update. The minion shit finally dropped. So we're going to jump into that. And then Brad and I had tournaments this weekend. Brad took first back-to-back. And I took second, so that was exciting.
And I was there, but I wasn't.
Right,
I didn't do well enough to even get mentioned on the that I was there. Right. Holy shit!
Ryan exists. That's the thing. So
did you like shake your keys at Ryan and go, "Let's go for a ride, boy"? Yeah, let's go for a ride.
So congrats, buddy! I'm sure you're pumped. Back to back, steamrollers. It's cool. All right, or he's not. That's fine. Seems great.
I don't think Ryan was excited.
I'm talking to you. Why would I be talking to Ryan? Back to back firsts.
I was excited. It was good. I played the same ones twice to practice for the mat, so I didn't, you know, let you guys down. And the list did well. Side note, I mean, it's painfully obvious why Denegra 1's getting nerfed. So I don't think I initially won more. My list did so.
Yeah, and because you didn't really play her until now, right? Like this is.
I haven't played her in like a year and a half.
Yeah, so yeah, Brad played.
So veteran Crix player picks up decent Crix list and immediately goes to town with.
Well, to be fair, Brad wins local events.
Well, no, that's what I'm saying. He's a veteran player. I mean, he's a good player.
Thanks for the vote of confidence, guys. But you know, like there was one game to talk about where I played against Saren One Double Thrones. I had like two angels and Zuriel was there and some other things. It was run by Saren 1. I think I said that already. But Denegra 1 walked forward and feated. And everything that army does is a star attack. So it didn't do anything.
Jesus Christ. Yeah, the thrones are all
nothing. Angels can't do anything. Thrones do nothing.
Oh my God.
Yeah, there was a point to where an angel flew over Satixis Raider to attempt to armor pierce Nightmare. Upon realizing after putting the model down that he couldn't armor pierce, I took my free strike from the model he flew over, and I took out the spirit.
Oh, God.
So, double reasons why he couldn't do it.
Yeah. I think my exciting thing was getting a bottom of two with Siege when a guy parked Fiora 3 behind his theme wall template and was like, I'm safe here with four focus. And I was like, you don't know what Siege 1's feat does. So
I had a somewhat similar thing. Kaylissa on a hill, when she stealths her entire force, so you can see through her entire force, and you have an out for stealth, and Rat 7 heavies and Colossal, it doesn't go real good for the Kaylissa player.
Yeah.
Oof.
Yep, seems bad. All right, so enough about that. Let's jump into the dynamic update. So we had Blindwater CID. The first huge one is Spiny Growth getting dropped to the cost of one. This affects Carnivian, Bull Snappers, Getorix, Razor Worms, and Rhinodons.
We just want to hit them all. I mean, all of the selfs got dropped to one.
Yeah, but I mean, we'll talk. Let's talk about it, because I mean, Spiny Growth is a huge one.
It is. Kind of.
I mean, I'm not going to say anything different than what they said in the developer notes. I mean, it was just too expensive at cost two as a self animus. Cost one makes it much more reasonable to cast for warlocks and beasts alike. So I think.
Yeah, I think what was said in the developer's note, it was pretty much exactly. I mean, again, you're not going to go up on a four fury beast and take half of your offensive ability
for two armor.
For two armor.
Yeah. Pete, Brad, anything on that?
No. It's just good change. I don't know. It doesn't bother me any.
Yeah, no, I agree. And we'll talk about it with the next one with Counterblast because, let's go ahead and go to Counterblast.
Sure.
So, yeah, again, it got the Spiny Growth treatment where they reduced the cost by one. I've been playing just focusing solely on Cole Grima, and I put in Dahlia and Scareth in my Cole Grima list, because we have a lot of fucking ret running around. So I want to be able to spray a bunch of halberdiers.
Yep.
And so playing with them over the weekend, you know, I'd come up, I'd boost a spray and then boost damage, and I'm sitting on two. And then I would look at the card and be like, oh, I could cast Counterblast and then be completely full and have no transfer targets. So this change to one makes me be able to do that, where I could shoot, boost to hit, boost damage, and then go ahead and throw up Counterblast. And the snake has Gunfighter, so that's yeah, handy as
that's,
well.
That's super good. And we'll hit on one of the big one here is, you know, the Spitter, and we'll talk about that in a minute, but a lot of models with Counterblast, and same thing. It just was too expensive. And now you actually have a reason to cast it and not have to worry.
I think the Counterblast change is almost more, effects, a much greater effect than the Spiny Growth, because this one, a lot of the Counterblast model couldn't have used the gun in their turn and then still cast Counterblast, like he was saying.
Oh, sure. Yeah, that makes sense. So, yep, that's a big one. Scorn, this goes doubly for the Bog-Trog Mistspeaker, but the Extoller Soul Ward, they changed the guidance, which gives magic weapons and eyeless sight, and they made it just friendly instead of friendly faction. So, a lot of huge synergies there. With being able to bring, you know, now maybe you want to take that Mistspeaker.
It's the Mistspeaker, really.
Yeah.
I mean, don't get me wrong, it's awesome for the Scorn one, but it's the Mistspeaker.
The Scorn change isn't going to really affect Scorn, but the Mistspeaker change will affect Scorn.
Yes, exactly.
You know, Trish was already working on lists tonight after that change, you know, saying that, hey, I can now have Eyeless Sight in a theme force that I couldn't before.
Right.
So, I mean, that's a pretty good change.
I mean, Brado's always talked about using blind as a out to kind of get around the battle engines. Now being able to give your blinded battle engine eyeless sight immediately just puts it back on the table and just gives you an out for that. I mean, there's plenty of other...
No, doesn't.
Yeah, why not?
So models with eyeless ignore the effects of blind.
Right.
But if you put it on retroactively, does that...
My understanding was yes. I have not talked to a judge or Infernal, but in the chats that we have had, I have heard yes.
There's plenty of stuff that does actually work retroactively. That might be one of them. Because if it just says ignore all effects of
blind.
That's
what I'm checking. I'm reading Eyeless Sight now.
I'm going to search the forum real quick.
Sure. So, Eyeless Sight, this model ignores cloud effects when determining line of sight. This model ignores concealment and never suffers blind.
Yeah. I'm not sure then, because it's already suffered it.
Right, it's already blinded. Well, that's an interesting one. If that works, that's super sweet. I don't know if there's...
I'll be honest, even without that...
No, that's just one corner case
So
example.
just the fact that Trolls now has a way to see through cloud walls with any list it wants to is...
Yeah, I'm making too big a deal out of that. The big deal is just being able to eyeless sight. I mean, there's plenty of cloud walls coming in between Kolgrimma, Haley 3,
and same deal with magic weapons. So now Incorporeal is... getting not kicked down a notch significantly.
Yeah, this is giving people outs to stuff and reasons to take. There's the you know minion solo that. Yeah.
How many points is he? 4.
I think he's 5.
He might be 5. Yeah, he's probably 5.
Okay, from the rules forum, this is dated. The answer came April 19th, 2017. Mm-hmm. The intent is that the model is blind but will not suffer the effects while it has eyeless sight. And the exact question was. So it was a model that was blind, and then they put guidance specifically from Rovan and Co. onto the model. Would it remove the blind? So it looks like that works.
Cool. Yeah, so it stays blinded, but...
I think for effects of, like, stacking... Like
well,
the
no, the wouldn't the defense stay then? If you're blinded for a round and you're...
I mean, on your turn, the defense does really matter.
That's really weird. Whatever.
Anyway, that's a corner case. The rest of that stuff is super sweet. Brad, you got anything on that?
No, nothing you're actually probably going to do, but the old tech they used to do back in Mark II or just before Blind was Shakeable was like Gorman blind your own Colossal. So now I guess if you have the ability to add Eyeless Sight to something, you can blind your own thing, give it Eyeless Sight, still use it, and if your opponent has blind, there's no reason for them to put it on your model.
Because it's already blinded.
Consider to be blinded, it'll just... go away at the beginning of your turn again.
That's super corner case, but that's kind of cool.
I thought they said that doesn't. I thought you couldn't do that.
Whatever. We're really hitting the bottom of the barrel.
Yeah,
this
no,
one.
No,
what's
agreed.
Next?
There's a lot of other.
Well, no, I think this is important because this is going to be something that's going to be coming out. So the model is blind. You give it eyeless sight. It is still blind, but it no longer suffers from the effects of being blind.
Oh, you know what? That would stop. That would stop if you had two blinding effects somehow. Like you could get blinded.
Like
this doesn't remove
something else.
This doesn't remove the blind. So if they were to then go and blind you again with I don't know, counterblast, I can't think of a way to apply it. But you're still blinded, so you couldn't get blinded again.
Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, don't get fooled again.
Right. All right, on to Grimkin, the Death Knell. They changed special delivery to just be friendly instead of friendly faction. And they said it's a byproduct of developing the Boilmaster and Spirit Cauldron. While removing faction offers almost no functionality change inside the Grimkin faction, it does allow the Spirit Cauldron to function in a much more
Do we have the rules
way.
For the Spirit Cauldron yet?
Yeah.
We do? Because that is basically just a mini Death Knell, right? As far as the special delivery part goes, it's the same rule. I guess it's a saying it's the same rule.
Isn't that a solo? Why can't I find that?
I think it is a solo. Oh no, is it an attachment?
Must be an attachment.
Oh, we're so terrible.
Yeah, this is.
Well,
this is
mean,
really
I don't
bad.
Play.
No, and our minions player, we kicked him out of the room. So minions.
I thought it was. I thought it was in War Room.
Well, we'll come back.
Oh,
to
Bone
it.
Shrine? Is that what it is?
No, it's the cauldron.
Yeah, I didn't. The Bone Shrine I know is in there. I don't remember seeing a cauldron.
Yeah, it's not. It's
okay,
not in here.
Okay, that's what I thought. We haven't seen the rules for it. So that's kind of cool. We know that this cauldron is going to have some form of corpse delivery.
Right.
That's kind of neat to have outside of Grimkin.
Mm-hmm. All right. On to some of the bigger changes. Jaga Jaga reduced the War Beast points to 27, increased the range of Serpent Strike to 2, and replaces feet with the following. It's called Vengeful Spirits. Choose up to D3 plus 5 enemy models currently in Jaga Jaga's control range. Remove from play one friendly faction warrior model within 5 inches of each chosen enemy model. Each chosen enemy model suffers a magical damage roll with POW equal to the base arm of the corresponding removed model. Models destroyed by Vengeful Spirits are removed from play. That.
Do you see the question that came up from that already?
I did not.
So I'm actually checking the rules for him right now to see if it was already answered. Oh, that's Company of Iron. Whoops, wrong button. The question was if they had chosen, let's say they get 6 models, right, with the D3.
Sure.
And they choose all 6 of their models, and there's one friendly faction model, let's say a single Gatorim Posse, that's within 5 inches of all of them. Can he be used as the model removed for all of the things since it's done simultaneously?
Oh.
I think so, because it says remove from play one friendly faction warrior model within 5 inches of each chosen enemy model. It doesn't say remove one friendly faction model for each enemy model within 5. I think he might be able to get away with that right now.
And you are incorrect. As Good. Of today at 12:43, Dark Legacy said for each model you remove, you can damage one enemy model.
Perfect.
Which
that's,
I believe
that's the
was
clarification.
Their intent
anyway. That does seem like it would be their intent.
But there's some sweets. I mean, it doesn't say it's unboostable. So you got that right there. And like you said, picking something like Gatorman Posse, that's arm 16.
You're losing a big model for that, though. Mm-hmm. But I mean, if it's killing the solo or whatever that you need to be away.
So. Yeah, I mean, it's auto-hitting damage.
Right, that's a big one.
And it's on a distance. So, like, keep in mind, like, now that all theme forces are open up to mercs and minions, a lot of the mercenaries you're taking are, like, arm 12, arm 11. You run a shambler next to them, and you just feet, and you just take out, like, a 7-point Iris 1, like, with an auto-hitting attack from a model that can run. So it can run, and then it's within 5 inches as long as it's also in Jaga Jaga's control range.
Yep.
Like, you just get to remove all solos and, like, unit attachments.
Yeah.
Is it, well, it's ambushers, not even... Ambushers are cheaper now, and they're arm 14.
Yeah. Ooh, and it's not an attack, right? Each model, enemy model suffers a magic damage roll.
Yep.
It doesn't say an
it's
attack.
It's going to work just like an E-Leap, just like... Yep, not an attack.
Yep, so you get around battle driven, you get around vengeance.
No, it doesn't say that it is not an attack. It just said doesn't say that it is an attack. But it is just a damage roll. It's not because it's coming from a feat. It's not coming from a model.
I mean, I could obviously be wrong. I'm wrong all the time. That to me, the way that is worded does not look like it is from an attack. Oh no, because normally doesn't it say this
from
is
an,
not,
yeah,
not
yeah,
an attack.
Not attack. Yeah, so yeah, yeah. So you can boost so it, but it is an attack from the feat.
Yes.
Okay.
Yep. Okay. Let's get that.
And then we are lying again.
That's fine. What else is new? All right, and then on to the spell. They replace Spell Piercer with Signs Importance. And
Ooh,
we all know what the fuck Signs Importance does. So, yeah, that's real good. I don't know what else to say. I never thought I'd see another Signs Importance caster.
It'd be one of those things. So normally I would say, well, so Spell Piercer and Signs Importance do very different things. And Signs Importance is definitely, are you know, the more powerful spell.
Yeah.
But if you're making a list and you need the magic weapons and you need the debuffing that gives you, or the ignoring buff that it gives you, this is not going to necessarily do that.
No,
but
you have other outs. You got your
well,
feet.
No, yeah, but minions. Got... Well, no, but minions has that's... access to magic weapons.
Right, that's
so
what
like,
I'm, yeah.
Signs Importance is just better.
Yep, that's what I was getting at as well. It's obviously just.
Better. I don't think there's many instances where you would say like exchange this spell for Signs Importance, where Signs Importance wouldn't just be better.
Well, I don't think there is one. So, but yes, I get your point, Ryan. That's...
But I'm okay. Yeah, fine.
Yeah, fine. All right. I mean, is there anything? I mean, no, everything. It's Signs Importance. Everything is just better.
Yeah. So, like, what models really want Signs Importance though? Like, that's a like a
well,
thing.
It's
that's
a,
always
it's...
ranged options. So, like the Ironback Spitter, the Flame Dart Frogs. What the
yeah,
fuck are they?
Croak Raiders.
Croak Raiders who yeah. got significantly better.
Yep.
Yeah. So, like, other than that, what other models do we want to put with
no,
Signs Importance?
You're right.
No,
oh, you're
just
saying
like,
Signs Importance.
I mean, fucking Brigands. That's a
Brigand
good thing.
Seems really good. Actually,
Brigands
seem really good because
are
you're
we,
gonna get.
Are we playing not in theme now?
Oh, that's right. Sorry, that's Pharaoh. Yeah. I mean, Posse is a big one.
And Posse's melee though. A lot of the times you want guns
that's
or signs because you want multiple turns of usage out of it.
So, it's, what about like the Sacra Vault?
That could be really good.
Well, yeah, because you don't have to spend souls now to boost.
Yeah, that could be really good. Mm-hmm. Or if you're hitting something hard. Yeah, like you want that gives a Sacra Vault. The Sacra Vault's already been an absolutely nightmare for infantry, but now that PAL 13, you're spending a soul to boost it. Now it's a PAL 13 boosted. It's effectively close mathematically. It gets close to a PAL 15.
Guys, I got it.
That's crazy.
It's a Dracodile.
Oh shit, that exists now.
That yeah. Dracodile wouldn't dislike having Signs Importance.
Mm-hmm. I
what
mean,
else does Jaga do for it?
Yeah, I mean it's
not
yeah.
a lot.
Oh, shit. Can you remove the Dracodile with his feet?
No, it's Warrior Models.
Warrior Models.
Yeah.
Well, that's a shame.
Yeah, that would be cool. That would be great. Yeah, no big deal. That'd be fine.
So, since we're being stupid, what's the highest armor model you can remove in Minions?
As, like, a Warrior Model?
Yeah. Is it...
That's also going to be in the Gator theme. Is it one of the solos?
That's what I'm looking through the solos right now.
Doesn't one of them have armor 19, I think?
I'm seeing 16.
Hutchuck, can he work for him? Ogryn Bokur is arm 16 with a shield.
Yeah,
his shield doesn't help.
Base armor, that doesn't matter.
Yeah.
No, I think the answer is 16.
Okay, I mean that's not bad.
I was hoping for higher.
Yes. Yeah.
Just wait till there's Gator Cav, then I'll get it.
Yeah.
That'll be. Yeah, Hutchuck's at 16.
Yep. So, all right. So let's move on. We got Maelok the Dreadbound. Replace, they change Death Pack to cost 3, range control self. While in the spellcaster's control range, friendly faction warrior models gain plus 2 arm and undead.
This is so good.
So fucking good. Spell. I didn't read it right the first time I read this, and then everybody was like, oh my god, Death Pact. And I'm like, what did I miss? And went back and reread it. I was like, fuck, guys, Death Pact. That's so good.
Like, isn't this like, didn't this basically used to be somebody's feet?
Well, it is also his feet. Well, it's incorporeal and plus 2 arm on the feet, but similar.
That's really good.
Yep.
So I need to go back to our discussion on which was the highest armored warrior model.
Go. Sure, we were wrong.
Wrong eye. Fuck it. Armor 17.
He's.
Oh,
well, that'll show your opponent.
He is a warrior model.
Yeah. Yeah.
you know, I've got these armor 16 guys, but I'm going to get you with this armor, this pal 17.
Nailed it, Pete.
I think really the answer is just the armor 14 ambushers.
I believe so. I think pal, once you get up to pal 14 and you're auto hitting with magic damage, and it's directed, you don't need line of sight, you don't need line of effect or anything. You just pick a model within 5 inches and say you're dead.
All right, let's talk about the...
Well, hold. No, we're not there yet. Hold on. Death Pact.
Yeah.
So let me tell you why I think Maelok, while on the surface seems astounding, might actually become a little more difficult to play.
Go.
Currently, right now, or I shouldn't even say right now, currently as of yesterday, when he put out the spell that gave plus two armor and undead to a friendly faction model unit, couple things. One, you could target the Sacro Vault with it. Now Death Pact, there's no way to make the Sacro Vault undead, so it will never benefit from the feat. Two, Death Pact, the now new version of cost three fury, everyone gets undead and plus two armor, is not upkeepable.
Right.
So he used to be like a revive mortality thing. Now if he wants to make his army undead, he's either reviving a guy or he's mortalitying, and he's likely going to be on none if he's boosting after that.
Mm-hmm.
So it turns him into... So while you get an army-wide effect, he is now a support caster instead of a revive and mortality
right,
caster.
Yeah. Before, like, you used to have your Witch Doc Crocs who could make things undead, which we haven't gotten to yet, but used to be able to make things undead to benefit from his feat. And then he would have Death Pact for his own thing, which, again, could be a Sacro Vault, could be another unit, could be whatever. Not only that, they could move outside of his control area and still become undead. Not that that would work really with the feat, but as an option. But you only have to spend one to upkeep it. So now he has to spend more fury. There being said, you do have the new Soul Slave who can cast mortality for free, but yep. That guy isn't boosting. So it's a little iffy if you're trying to hit high defense models.
Also, he is armor 17. Nailed it.
Yeah.
Get fucked.
Yeah, so he's no longer going to be reviving like two gators a turn when it comes to like the posse if he's making everything undead.
Yep. No, that is a good thing to point out. He's definitely going to have to make some choices.
So with that said, do you think it's a better kit or a worse kit?
So the thing that I can closest compare him to is he is relatively, although not exactly, similar to Venithrax in that like he wants to cast Terminal Velocity for his Jax, and that costs three, and he also has Mortality, so he's at odds to see what he wants to cast each turn. Plus, Venithrax has an upkeep, so like... It just feels to me like a warlock that is going to be very focused, or I'm sorry, focused, fury strapped, and not able to do everything he wants to do in a given turn. It's just going to be a brick, and if you can get through armor, I don't know how much his army is going to do to you.
I mean, he does have an upkeep, well, too, because he's still got Soul Harvest.
I think you're going to pick.
Sure.
Yeah, and we'll talk about that in a second. I think you're going to be making the choice. Like, I think you're either going to go, I'm going to take a lot of shit and make Death Pact, or I'm going to be doing the mortality revive game.
Right, but in any given list, like, it's tough to only pick half
sure.
the kit to use.
Agreed. Totally agree.
Now, can he use souls to upkeep or to cast spells with?
Well, I was going to say, don't forget, the minions got the Bone Shrine, so it's basically a rack.
Right, that's true.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, that one more fury will help.
He can have souls, which does get turned into fury, and then he does now have Soul Harvester.
Well, so that's what I'm saying. So yeah. He's got the Soul Harvester spell. So he might, unlike Venithrax, he has a way, if you can get a soul train going, of casting that spell every turn and still getting the mortalities
100% agree.
Out.
Just from speaking with like Scavenger's experience, like Soul Harvester is something that you really should never bank on. There's a lot of matchups where you put Soul Harvester out and it nets you none through the course of the game. On the flip side though, like there's other games where you can live the dream, like where you upkeep on a unit, they charge in and get you like six, and then you swap it over to another and they get you another one. And then the turn after that, you have like 20 fury because of it. But those games are very few and far between.
Sure. And Soul Harvester, for the record, got added to his card, and it is a cost 2, range 6 upkeep. When target-friendly faction model unit destroys a living enemy model with a melee attack, the spellcaster gains the soul token regardless of proximity. So.
Yeah, like, he's still good. I just don't know if he's hands down better than he used to be. He's just different. He offers things that other minion warlocks can't do. He still has a place. I just don't know if he's just hands down better. I think he's just different.
So with that in mind, we were talking like off the mic, you know, between Death Pact, the new Unyielding, or even Unyielding, because Posse do have reach, and then his feet. I mean, you're talking about 8-box arm 22 Posse, if you were in Gator theme.
Seems good.
Mm-hmm. It's pretty good. With, you know, reroll to hits. It's now against everything, which we'll get to in a minute. The Blind Walker went down to 10 points. It's good. That's just very
cleanly,
good change.
You know, just a, you know, a life change.
Yeah.
Who was it? Somebody on the internet or somebody else was talking about using them as cheap heavies and then putting them with like taking one wrestler and giving them rage and all the buffs to actually turn them into hitting hard.
Mm-hmm.
And then like spamming blind walkers.
Sure.
Where the hell did that come from?
Bone Swarms got Pathfinder and Steady. I don't know. Pete, does that get them? Is that enough? Does that get them on the table? Because you didn't see a lot of Bone Swarms, right?
Yeah, there's a lot of talk about Barnabas 2 and
okay.
Bone Swarms.
Sure, yeah. That's right.
So much so that, like, Attilio made me crawl through eBay to find cheap ones.
Nice.
So we now have 3 in the house, and I feel like it was a bad buy, but, you know. I don't know.
Yeah,
it's that's a tough call. We're going to have to play it and see what happens.
Sure. The Bull Snapper went down, obviously got Spiny Growth reduced to 1, and then they changed Torpid to be, if this model destroys a living enemy model with a basic melee attack, it can immediately end its activation after the attack is resolved. If its activation ends as a result of Torpid, you can remove 1 fury point
from
this model.
Thank freaking God.
Yeah. I mean, that was like basic, like that was easy feedback that they just got right off the bat. It couldn't hit the hard targets, but it made it inefficient against warrior models. So making it optional helps. And obviously, Spiny Growth is just good. The Ironback Spitter down to 14 points and also got affected with the counterblast change. So I think we were talking to Attilio before we started recording. Fucking spitters are great. I don't know, Pete, you go ahead. What were you saying about it?
About spitters,
yeah, or no? I guess you were saying with like Dahlia and Scarith, I guess, but it's kind of the
same thing. Yeah. Just the change to counterblast is really good. You know, Attilio was talking about throwing Enliven on them, and then they would have, and I think this is correct. What caster was it under? They would get Retaliatory Strike.
Well, they just Enliven. Have that, yeah.
Oh, they have that, yeah. So they're going to punch you. If you damage them, they walk away. And then I guess counterblast triggers, is that right?
No, counterblast triggers as soon as they move up.
As soon as they end their movement in the command range.
Do they have gunfighter?
They do not have gunfighter.
So then you're not going to shoot it. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know, there's some jank.
Well, you get it either way. If they end in melee, if they hit you in melee, you get your retaliatory strike once, or if they end not, you know, in your command and not in front of you, you get to take your counterblast shot.
Yeah.
And then enliven is if they hit you, you get to walk away.
Yeah, you get to walk away. So. Yeah, it's a neat. Regardless, I think the spitter's coming down to 14, and the change to counterblast makes them mildly more useful.
Yep.
Well, and counterblast is also not just a shot, but it's also a melee attack.
Oh, that's true. That's right. That's what he was saying. They move up to you. You get to smack them when they move up to close combat. Smack them when they move up to you. Then you get to hit them when they hit you, and you get to walk away.
Yep.
And then you get to shoot them next round because you walked away.
Yeah. Sorry, minions players. We've said this before. This is one of our least known factions, so. You know, we
and they're turtles. They're also models. I actually like the models.
I'm excited for this next one. The Swamp Horror went up to 15 points, but got Chain Strike on the tentacle weapons. I think that's sweet. I mean, arm 15.
He's,
go ahead.
He's still Fury 3, though, right? Yeah.
Yeah,
just
he is. Unfortunately,
what's the minion warlock with like, or sorry, Gator warlock that has like the biggest speed buffs? Is there any guy that like? Is there anyone that can send this guy across the table?
I don't think so.
You can't throw him anymore.
No.
Barnabas 2 has Hunter's Mark.
Might be as good as it gets.
Yeah, yeah, I don't think you're flying across the table. In
well, Jaga Jaga has Battle Host.
Yeah, so Escort, yeah.
Yeah, I guess.
So that, you could get a +4, right, with Battle Host with +2 and then Hunter's Mark for +4 from Lanissa Rissel. If she fits in the theme, we're probably coloring way outside the lines now.
No, but like she's I think you can bring her, right? I actually have no idea.
What?
Lanissa.
In work for food. Yeah, she has to. Let's just assume she does. We're probably wrong. Yeah, so you can get a plus four on this guy.
Yes, it is slow, and I don't know. I've always liked chain weapons, and then it's got impervious flesh has always been.
Yeah, but what's the pow on it?
It's 16 on the beak, and the tentacles are 12.
The 12. They're pow 12 chain. I don't know.
Yeah. But you've got rage. I mean,
for 15 points, that's a lot.
Yeah,
of,
it is a lot.
You put that on
points.
Something better.
I mean, I think that thing is more just like you can go sit it in a zone. I mean, it's expensive to sit in a zone.
It's
but 15 I mean,
points.
Just,
yeah. It better be able to sit in a zone.
It's good, but all right. Bogchok ambushers reduce the point cost for leader and for min unit to 8 and max to 13. Should just help get them on the table a little more than they were.
Yeah,
I know you said Attilio was kind of talking about them.
Yeah, I mean, I'm gonna play with them too because I got all the bears for trolls, so there could be some cute stuff in there where your whole army, but your fucking battle group and warlock ambushes.
Yeah. Okay, on to Croak Raiders. They went down to 16 points for a max unit. They gained Pathfinder, and the POW of their weapon went up to 11. And then their developer knows is basically that, you know, they're highly monitoring Croak Raiders after the Mark II, you know, thing where they were just nobody was taking any units.
So Pathfinder, I feel like, is important. Coming down to 16 points makes them the same cost as like assault commandos and the heavier specialized infantry. And the darts going up to POW 11, I think, will help because it puts you into that boosted range. And the combustible, whatever is it combustible or is it
alchemical accelerator?
Accelerator.
Yeah.
It does state boosted, so it's not like you can get around. You can't get any like additional kind of boosting effects into that.
Signs
so
of importance.
That's not a boost. It's only effectively
a plus 2. Well,
they couldn't
do that anyway. I mean, they don't have that.
To be fair, signs of importance does help a little
bit. I don't know, Pete, does this get them? I mean, they've been really, you have not seen a lot of them since Martin. Like, they were definitely one of the units that you got toned, went from, like, being everywhere to fucking nowhere.
Yeah, I know there's a lot of talk with Kallus, too, because of his fire shenanigans and Legion. If I wasn't committed to Kol Grimma, I would definitely be looking at these with... Horgel 2.
Horgel. Yeah, I was thinking about taking a squad with Horgel or with Grim 1.
Yep.
Yeah. The neat thing is that you can't do two of them outside of faction if you want to play in a theme force.
Right.
So I think that's a good way to keep them under control. Because what was it? During Mark II, the French Open, where they had a picture of all 50 of the Croak Raider units that were there.
Yep.
All right. The Gatorman Bokor and Bogtrop Swamp Shamplers went down to 10 points. Just cheaper option. That's better. Gatorman Posse went down to 16 points for a max unit, and then they changed the rerolls. It used to be reroll to hit against living models. Now it's just reroll to hits. Or reroll missed attack rolls, excuse me. So, Posse are good. Like, you're still going to see fucking Posse. I don't know. There's nothing else really there other than they're gonna be there. Linus and Edria, they changed. Now it'll work. They'll work for Crucible Guard on top of Signar and Rhett. They changed the heal on Linus to First Aid, which now just reads target-friendly living model. If it's in range, remove D3 damage points. he lost Arcane Bolt, she lost Arcane Bolt and got Windburst, which is a star attack, range 10, AoE 4, POW 12, that removes overlapping cloud effects.
Bullshit.
My only issue with this is not as point and click as like Vlad 2's.
Nope, it isn't just place. It's
wind
not a place.
Burst or wind, whatever it is, where you place it and you get rid of a cloud wall. So if the person does their cloud wall, like the Trencher cloud wall, you're not going to have anything to target.
No, you will. She has Isle of Sight. Or True Sight, excuse me.
So but you'll still have to... I guess you'll have
target
to
target the model behind.
Drifts. Yeah, okay.
You're gonna, it's an AoE 4, so you're going to hit at least
I forgot she had Isle of Sight. So never mind. I'm just wrong.
Yeah, and you could always run one of your own models.
Model. Yep. That's what I was going to say, is there's a lot of situations where you'd have to run one of your own models up, but Yeah, never mind.
I mean, I would consider this Insignia. I mean, there's a lot of, like, even in my Siege 1 list where, yes, I have Mage Sight, but I don't have an out to remove the cloud so that my battle engines can see. Something like this, a two-man unit that can score, contest a zone with what the fuck's her spell called, with wind barrier mm-hmm. up, mm-hmm. and then being scoring zones, and then her just dropping that. Also, applied knowledge on somebody like Siege, not too bad.
So... is it worth 5 points?
I don't know. That's the toughest, because I lose two mechanics. I lose double min mechanic for that. Or I take out, like, a Firefly.
I mean, it can be absolutely game-winning, mm-hmm. especially if you play into a Kolgrimma, a Zirkova 1, a Haley 3, those kind
I will
lists,
have to
but...
play them, and they're not going to be the go-to merc choice for at least my faction. I'm sure there's others that want it more than Signar, that I can't really speak to, but being able to remove clouds and now these Circle Trolls, Signar Rhett, like these having the outs for that, I think that's going to be huge in certain lists. If that's what you need to do, if you're building like a Haley 3, you may want a Haley 3 answer.
Yeah,
probably
yeah.
want these guys.
Yep,
they will be a good ADR piece for sure.
Yes, I think that is accurate. Go ahead, Pete.
I was just gonna say, but good luck making that work.
Five points is an odd number. The Bogtrog Mistspeaker command went up to 8, and they did the same thing, changed the guidance to friendly. We talked about that already. The Croak Hunter went down to 3 points, and it gained Hunter and Reposition. So I was looking through, and I was like, oh, it would be really cool. Like, it'll score. It's got stealth. It can score flags. And I was like, but you would just take a Gremlin Swarm.
Yep.
Like, I still don't
Hunter's
know
a great. Don't get me wrong. Hunter is a phenomenal ability. But I don't know if it gets it on the table.
I don't think it does.
Real quick. The Mistspeaker, the command 8 going up. Which spell does that? Don't they have one that lets them...
Well, I mean, guidance for one, right? Isn't it range command?
Is it range command?
Yeah, guidance is range command. Okay. Influence is range 10, and the summon vortex is the 3-inch cloud on itself.
On itself. So. Okay. All right. So it's just.
So you've got a 13-inch range on your guidance.
Gotcha.
Mm-hmm. On to the Gateman Witch Doctor. They change dominate undead with Death Ride. So Dare to Graith's thing that gives undead mm-hmm. models an additional +1-inch movement when advancing while starting in his command. And then they replace Zombify with Shadow Walk, which is range command and gives friendly faction model ghostly for one turn. Were you going to say something, or was that?
Nope. Okay. It was just good.
I mean, so the immediate thing that comes to mind is playing that with Malok. I'm sure that
we well, already were playing him with Malok because he yes, zombified yes. the Gators for you.
I don't know. Death Ride's good. Like these are ghostly. I didn't realize at first that it was friendly faction model, but that's still just no free strikes Pathfinder. That's pretty sweet.
Well, my only issue with it is on his, especially with Malok, he's going to feet and they're all going to be incorporeal.
Sure. So you just wouldn't use it that turn. But
I don't know. Yeah. I guess this would get you your battle engine being... Wait, is it friendly faction warrior model?
It's friendly faction model.
So yeah, so this lets you get your battle engine to walk away without taking free strikes. This gives you Pathfinder to a beast if you need it to give it to a beast, but...
Mm-hmm.
The Death Ride is why the battle engine can't become undead.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, absolutely.
No one wants a speed 5. Fucking Saxel Vault running around.
Anyway, so really, really good changes with the Witch Doctor. The Throg went down to 5 points, got Pathfinder and Prowl. Is that enough to get a Throg on the table?
I mean, it still has the ability to like remove upkeeps, right?
Yep. Still removes upkeep, still causes disruption.
Still has to hit him in close combat, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think 100% is like, is there going to be no realist?
Or no, Signs of Importance, Throg.
Oh, there you go.
That gets a lot
I mean,
nastier.
To be fair, it's Mat 7, and, you know.
Yeah, but there's a lot of stuff that with a defensive buff on it, Mat 7 was going to, you couldn't rely on it.
No, I mean, Prowl giving it some, I mean, it was kind of the similar problem I had with, like, Falk, like, no defensive shtick at all.
Yeah.
Prowl helps a lot. And then the theme force changes, the Blindwater Congregation can take Linus and Edria, and then they change the text to, for every full 20 points of units and battle engines, you can add a Bull Snapper War Beast, Boilmaster, and Spirit Cauldron unit, or one solo without Lesser Warlock special rule to the army free of cost. pretty much just opens up some list building options with those minion choices. And then Thornfall Alliance can now also take Linus and Edria. Same thing, gives them answers to some of the things that they couldn't answer before.
Answers, lots of answers.
So that is the December dynamic update. So a lot of really, really good and impactful changes across the game, not just to minions.
Well, this is like their MO with this kind of stuff, isn't it? Where it's like, all right, we're going to fix a problem in minions, but by the way,
right,
here's all these other problems, or here's all these comfort adjustments that everybody else is getting.
Yes.
So,
yep. All right, so let's talk about the Mid-Atlantic Team Tournament. So we'll just go through. We'll pick a couple lists. We'll talk about them. And if you want to follow along, we're at conflictchamber.com/event=29. Does anybody want to go first? Does anybody have a list in mind that they liked that they wanted to talk about?
Can we just talk about the elephant in the room, that there are 8 Retribution of Syrah lists or players?
Oh, yeah. Actually, that is one thing I wanted to do. I wanted to talk about run through. Pete, can you run through the faction breakdown for me real quick?
Yep. So this is a 3-person team. We have a total of 16 teams, I think.
18.
Is that right? 18. Yeah, so we have 8 Retribution of Syrah, 6 Kador, 6 Scorn, 5 Grimkin, 5 Mercenaries, 5 Signar, 5 Protectorate, 4 Trollbloods, 3 Circle, 3 Legion, 2 Crix.
Hold there. Pause. There are 2 Crix. Fuck. Everybody's got their Crix drop, and there are 2
yep.
Crix players, and one of them is on our team. All right, continue.
Hello. At one point, we had 2 Convergence, now we have 1 Convergence and 1 Minion.
Yep.
I stand alone.
I did ask. I did suggest that Mike make a post. If he did not, and you're listening to this and you're going to the mat, you should check out Grossly Overconfident. One of the players had to drop, and Brian Cortese is stepping in running Minions. So if you have already looked over the list, you may just want to take a look one more time.
And point of order, his lists are, yeah, so his one list, his Malak list is 71 points, and his Rask list is now 70 points.
Yep, so he'll have to go ahead and make some changes.
He's got
there.
Some changes to make.
Yep. But, I mean, he's not over, so having to add more shit, you know, that's an okay problem to have, I think. So we'll see what happens there. Okay, so now that we got the breakdown, this is really weird. We're in a really weird meta. I did not expect the breakdown. I did not realize there was going to be this much Rhett and and Scorn, and then this few like fucking Crix and Legion. Like, we have a lot of Legion players in our area.
I was expecting a lot more Crix. It was kind of if it had known it had been a lot of Rhett, my lists would have been different.
Well, sure.
I should have just assumed there'd be this much Rhett. But
all right, so who wants to start? Pete, you
got
anybody?
It.
Brad, go.
The Molly Whoppers.
Okay.
Looking at Donnie Gallitz playing those Trollbloods.
Oh, boy.
So we've got Madrak 3 and Madrak 1. The Battle Groots, or Madrak 3, has a Glacier King. Madrak 1 has a Mountain King.
Mm-hmm.
Hard stop, that's it.
Mostly
because Pete, his Madrak 3 list has 3 units of Creel Warriors. Pete, what do Creel Warriors do? I really don't know.
They go fast. So, yeah, they're just a standard troll unit. They're cheap as chips, and they run across the board and get in the way. That is pretty much it. So yeah, Creel Warriors, they are speed 5. They have combined melee, tough. They're hand weapons, power 10s. They do have unyielding, so they'll be a little bit once they get engaged. And then the standard bearer, or the command attachment, gives them granted rise. And then they have Repo 3. They really don't have a mini feat, if I remember correctly.
No, they got a lot slower from Mark 2 to Mark 3.
Yeah, and the caber throwers are pretty mopey. They just don't seem that great. No, it's a one shot weapon. It does have momentum, but they're mat 5s. Yeah, it's not that great.
When they lost the prayers to be able to, because they used to be able to pray for +2 mat, pray for +2 speed, or Pathfinder? I'm getting that wrong.
Sure.
They used to have prayers that took crappy models and made them good. Now they don't, and they're just crappy models who are incredibly cheap with tough.
So, I mean, if not to I'm just going to have to assume, based off of what I'm seeing, this is a can you kill enough stuff over the course of the game without clocking yourself?
Yeah, and there's also Fen Blades.
Well, and I think the other option here too is they're going to run two of the squads of warriors at you, just run them straight into your teeth, and then they're going to hit you with the Fen Blades from they do hit you from 900 miles away, because they can do the no quarter mini feat, which gives them plus two, their speed six. And they can hit pretty hard. So you're gonna get tied down in a lot of infantry, and then you're gonna get smacked with Fen Blades.
Also with Magic 3's feat of having the super tough, and then when they get disabled, being able to advance 3 inches.
Yeah, it's gonna be a lot. It's gonna be a lot of stuff.
Yep.
Now I will say the Spell Piercer is kind of tasty with Magic 3. Mm-hmm. I've been looking at Magic 3 as a troll mirror counter, because of Madrak 1 with even ground, given plus 2 def to everything. But I don't know if I would do it in this build. Again, I think this is just a gut check for the opponent. Like, can you handle all of this stuff?
I wasn't thinking about this, but he does have two Fellcaller heroes in here, yep. So they're going to get up to a halfway decent mat. I mean, yeah. They're
the Fen Blades. It only helps Fen Blades, right?
No, the Kithgar.
I was looking at the Kithgar.
The Kithgar is going to help the Fen Blades are the real nasty unit.
I'm sorry.
If you take the Fen Blades out of this list, it loses a lot of its teeth. But if you let the Krill Warriors get around you, they're going to do pretty nasty CMAs.
Yep.
And the Kithgar hero does have Righteous Vengeance, so you know some fools are going to be dying for him to walk up and smack things around.
So does the Glacier King Animus do anything for the army?
He does have concealment within 3 inches of just being a Glacier King. The Animus itself, not really.
I think that's
concealment. That's what I'm mistaking.
No, the Glacier King just gives 3 inches of concealment.
So is that
it'll probably keep
the
Fen Blades.
What does that push Madrak 3's defensive stats to?
Being concealed, I believe he goes up to a 16, and I'm going to confirm. In the old war room.
He's a 14-16 base.
Yeah.
So he'll go up to 16. Is there a stone?
Doesn't he have a shield?
He has protective aura. He does have a shield, and he is a stone himself.
Yeah, and he is a stone. So he's going to be arm 20. He's going to be defense 16, arm 20, if you don't have a way of getting around concealment. The Fen Blades are going to go up to 14-16s. I'm not sure about that one.
And then that feat turn with that insane tough seems brutal.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, you're going to clock yourself or you're going to lose on scenario if you're not careful with this. Especially because the Glacier King has Bulldoze, so he can push you out of the edges without having to kill you. He's got his gun to push stuff around. He's got the knockdown stuff. Yeah, it's not a bad list. It is going to rely on your opponent to take time killing the warriors. If they can snipe out the important stuff or they have a way of ignoring the positioning. I mean, it's 30, it's 30 plus medium-based models that this person's going to be willing to just throw away, basically.
Yep.
Like, and you're going to have to chew on them.
Yeah. So if I was going to play into this, I would instantly, after the first damage roll, I would have my hand hovering over the clock to flip it over for the tough check.
Yep. I think that's one of those games.
As long as
you're
consistent.
Just
yep.
Tell
yep.
right off
consistent.
The bat. Listen, buddy. I'll be flipping the clock to you for your tough checks. All right, I'm ready to go. Let's go up to the top and look at this dumb motherfucker named Dan Riker on Team Battle Driven.
Why are we doing him the honor of talking about him again?
Because I want to talk about his Haley 2 list.
Yeah, he. To be fair, Grant just wants the Haley 2 list.
I made the Haley 2 list, for one.
Are you playing it?
No, fuck no. No.
He's playing better lists.
No, I didn't make the list. Dan and I made that list together. We were just having some fun. We wanted to make a out-of-theme Haley 2 list, and this is the product. So it is Haley 2, not in theme. Her battle group is a Squire, Brickhouse, and Thorn. She's running DeBray, Eilish, a Gunmage Captain Adept, Junior with a Firefly, Gunmages with no UA, Double Express Team, and a Stormstrider. So
what does this thing do?
It's got 8 Thunderbolts. It has a Stormstrider that can shoot 3 PAL 17s because she's got temporal acceleration. He still gets a +1 to go first because he's got DeBray. He has express teams, which are just ballers at getting being dug in and holding a zone. He can
express
still
teams
has
aren't good at holding a zone. Mm-hmm. It's two guys.
Yeah, but while you're dealing with Brickhouse locking
they're
your
a
ass,
unit.
They're a unit, and they just sit in the back, dug in, and okay. while you're dealing with the rest of the shit.
So
and
you're
also
you're,
Haley feet turn.
Your whole yeah. So your whole thing is about having Brickhouse hold a line, and
well,
then...
this list doesn't play into like infantry. This list plays into like a heavy spam.
Okay.
And then
oh, yeah, and the three Thunderbolts with that
locks
can get real nasty.
Locks
okay.
down some jacks with Brickhouse. Thorn just does exactly what Thorn usually does. He can. He has outs for stealth with the Gunmage Captain Adept, and then obviously still has a good assassination on the table between the Strider and Haley, too. It's just a lot of control. I don't know how good the list actually is, but we had a blast making it. So
if your prey is like the seven heavy list mm-hmm. or the I could as long as they're affected by pushes, I could see you being real cheeky.
Yeah, no, I could see you getting.
Does this list get through seven heavies, though?
It's not that it gets through. It's the fact that he can control the ones he needs to while he deals with the ones that he wants to. He can kind of try to pick and choose when he's going to
do it. Well, I assumed it would just be a scenario. You'd push him out and just win on try to out
scenario. Yeah, I mean, if you can do that, you're going to try to do that.
Those lots of heavy lists are generally weak into scenario, which is why I think you're starting to see them go the way of the dinosaur. But
I mean, into infantry, he does have Siege 1 as his other pair, so he's got that. I don't know how good the list is. It was fun to make, and I can't believe he had the balls to actually play it in an event like this.
That's not true. You can totally believe it.
No, I don't, because I don't think – I don't know. Anyway, it doesn't matter. I want to talk about that list, because it's super different, and, you know, Sally too. I haven't seen her in a little while. Who's next? What do we got?
No one?
Bueller.
Because I'm silent.
Bueller.
Somebody.
So
I'm ready to go again.
Oh no, I gotta put this list in here just because it is my absolute personal bane list and the fact that what?
I don't know. I don't know. When you first started, I was like, are you gonna pick your own list?
No. You just picked your own list. I don't wanna hear it. No, this is the absolute bane of everything I make in Convergence, and it drives me nuts every time I see it. So this is on something something knife ears.
Nice.
And it's
Oh fuck! I'm such an idiot. I thought you forgot the name of the team and we're guessing the beginning.
Nope. Their team is something something.
No, yeah, it literally is something something knife ears. Anyway, it's the Virus One list that I have come to absolutely just I cringe every time.
It's Cat's Virus.
Yeah. Every time I see her with this thing, and it's like, God damn it, because she always plays this stupid
list.
All right,
run through the list. What do we?
All right, it's Virus One with Chimera, Griffin, Harpy, Imperatus, Siren, Silas Wishnailer. Three Arcanist Mechanics, Narn, Mage Hunter, two Solus Void Tracers, two squads, min squads of Mage Hunter Infiltrators, and the Spears of Sire with a Solus Escort. It's Imperatus with Virus, so it hits you from 9 million inches away, a la carte Mark II Scorn threat ranges with that thing.
It's 17 if you give it both side steps.
Yep. And Imperatus will just kill you because it's basically a freaking Colossal.
Well, because Virus 1 feet gives flank.
Yes. And so. she's got the Infiltrators to run up and give it the flank. I mean, she can basically flank from, I think it was 16 inches away, or it might be 14 inches away. She can apply flank.
Their speed 7.
Oh, no, because the Spears can do it. Do the Spears have parry?
I'm not sure.
But continue. Well,
regardless... It's gonna get its flanks if it needs it. Griffins, everything in the list hits like an absolute Mack truck with flank and with the other damage buffs between the focus power and the focus efficiency that it gets. And for me as a Convergence player, my jack on jack list doesn't work real well into it because of Imperatus, specifically Imperatus. And then I can't play my infantry into it because all the damn infiltrators have takedown. so no souls. It's brutal. It's a great list. And she's got so many reps with it that she's just going to kick your teeth in with the damn thing.
It was really funny. I was watching because I think this was the game that I ended up bottom of two. So I watched a lot of her game against Derek. Maybe it was the next game. Doesn't matter. And he asked her, he's like, oh, can you see Something about the line of sight. And she's like, yeah, everything. Yeah. I can see everything.
I can ignore everything.
Everything.
There's nothing
you can't. I can
always see
you. Yeah.
So I actually played Lich 1 Ghost Fleet into her Virus 1 list on Saturday night. And I lost on control points on turn 7, 8-7. Though, we talked about it after the game and kind of knew it at the end of the game. If I had more time on my last turn, I started my last turn, I believe, with like 1:10.
Mm-hmm.
I had the ability to go up to 9, but I need to kill an objective and then move Lich forward and teleport into the zone. Mm. Just wasn't the time to do everything necessary to clear the zone. I needed to contest where I needed to and clear.
Sure.
But that all being said, for the first 3 rounds of that game, Lich played moving farther and farther into the corner just in the kill box because of the threat from Imperatus.
Yep.
It's crazy. The threat is just absolutely insane. And once you put the buffs on Imperatus and the way he works, you don't care about taking a couple free strikes on the way in if you've got that flank, because it will just kill casters every time.
Mm-hmm.
It's disgusting.
Yep. That's a good list. She's very proud of that list, and she's pairing that with Gareth 1. Gareth, obviously. But really good. Who has it gone? Pete, you got one?
Yeah.
Go.
So we're going to scroll down to 2 priests and a butcher. We're going to look at my buddy Jason Ellsworth Alts. Former,
I just played him in Ice House.
You did?
Yeah, former press ganger from Red Caps down in Philadelphia. So I'm looking at his Malachus 1 list in Creator's Might.
Yep.
It is Malachus, the Eye of Truth, Reckoner, Repenter, Revelator, Hierophant. He has a Covenant, Vassal Mechanic, Vassal of Menoth, Max Choir, and then Roven and the Honor Guard. I'm just happy that there's a Revelator on the table. It's going to be awesome.
And his is painted beautifully.
Oh, it is gorgeous.
Yeah. I am too.
It's going to be a spell-piercing Revelator because of fucking Eye of Truth.
Yeah, you know, and they got Eye of Truth on the table too.
I gotta admit, I have no idea what to do into Menoth. It's just a lack of seeing them anymore.
Sure.
But like, I have no idea. I've got nothing. I've got no reps into Menoth with convert.
Have magic weapons and shoot their jacks.
Also, his Thyra list is gross too, with the double Flamebringers.
Yeah, it is. It is.
Yeah, I think he played that on the channel. Actually.
Yep, Thyra's really good. I think now with the Revelator, I think Malachus. I mean, I don't even know what it is off the top of my head, but I know the Revelator can get up to some ridiculous amounts of pals with him. With Choir and blah blah blah, just the buffs they can stack.
It's not gonna feel good.
Nope. So, and then essentially having what the fuck's it called, ancillary attack on, yep, with his shot.
Now the Repenters are the flamethrower.
They're
jacks,
the spray,
right?
Guys. I believe.
So you've got what, 4 sprays? 4. If you put Eye of Truth in the right spot, you've got 4 spell piercing.
Eye of Truth does not have a spray.
Yeah, but 2 Repenters and then 2 off the Revelator.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah. Sorry.
And you put him, because Eye of Truth bubbles,
Revelator,
what, 5 inches?
Doesn't have sprays. Judicator has sprays.
Yeah. Oh, that's I'm thinking the wrong one. Oh, he's got the 2 shoulder cannons.
Yes.
Still, that's a lot of freaking, that's a lot of boosted damage. It's a lot of fire.
Yeah.
The only hang-up that can come in is that the enemy model has to be in his control area in order for you to get the additional damage die, so he's got to play a little loose with Malachus.
He has that dumb feat where instead of like all the other ones, his is that you have to be in his control area, not just his guys making the attack, which is a little sad. But he does have a bunch of shield. He does have, what, 3 shield, or is it just Roven that's a shield guard? I think it might just be Roven.
I thought it was the 2 buddies with him.
Yeah, the 2 buddies.
Two buddies.
Yeah,
are.
I can never remember. So
Eye of Truth turns into an arc node.
He does. So he can arc Scourge.
Yep.
Guess that's probably all he would want to arc.
That's what it's going to be. He's going to be arcing Scourge into your caster.
So, good choice on that. I think that was really cool. Brad, I think you said you were ready to go again. What do you got?
So, we're going to go to Struggle Snuggle.
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy.
And we're going to the Michael Ireland.
I believe these are the defending champs of the mat, ?
Likely.
Okay.
So the reasoning is his OCM 1 list, Mike and I built together. I think we started it the week before War Machine Weekend when I was in Vegas for work, and then we finished it on the car ride to Vegas. because we were looking for a list that could play into both Ghost Fleet and to Coven Dark Host.
Well, isn't he going to be sad?
Right. Well, that was the idea of it originally.
Alara 2 all day.
For the most part, yeah, probably. But his Ocean list, between Shatterstorm and the double ticks, takes away a lot of what Crix wants to do.
Yeah.
It is incredibly... Let me go through the whole list. Why am I not saying all of it? It's Ocean, Hypnos, so it's Counterjack, a Manticore. You then have Aelith Veer, the Blade of Nissor, an Arcanist Mechanic, Iris 1, a Priest of Nissor, Max, Selena Raphael, Nishunters, then Max Rissavas Defenders, and then two Arcantric Force Generators. So he can cycle Shatterstorm between the generators, putting out Rough Terrain.
Oh,
he can put
fun.
Quicken on the Defenders and on the Nis, and you can just put Shatterstorm on the Nis as well. But Quicken and Nis threaten 13 in melee and become defense 16.
And it's in Defenders of Ios.
Wait, real quick. The Defenders have 2-inch melee, right?
I don't think so. I think they're...
Does nothing have 2-inch?
Fine, but I think they're sad. Only one.
Shatterstorm on 2-inch reach infantry.
Oh, no, they do.
Fun. Yeah, they do. So you put Shatterstorm on them is a lot of fun, too, and you go...
Shatterstorm only affects range attacks, doesn't it?
Yes.
Did they change it?
I believe, but I don't know. I've just been wrong like 400 times today, so I'm going to check. But I thought Brad was correct.
And then beyond that, like...
Yes. OCP, oh, no. No, it's range for melee range. Still.
I used to use IFP. I'd put Shatterstorm on IFP. Nobody would see it coming, and you just blow up someone's infantry with a melee charge. It's hysterical. But you need 2-inch reach, otherwise you kill yourself.
Right. And then beyond that, like, he has... what's the armor on Defenders? Like, not...
I want to say 16. Maybe they're 15. They are 15 in the defensive line, which doesn't help that.
Sure. So, like... You throw up Ocean Feet, and like now they're just completely impervious to blast damage, and like Nis live through most blast damage. Beyond that, like Iris 1 becomes friendly faction, so you can... he has Fortune, I think.
He lost Deadeye, gained Fortune.
So he can Fortune Iris 1 and like really set up the assassination, which is then if you do the Brutal Shot off our Cantor Force Generators and like become, I think it's Rat 9 when they aim, you get 4 dice Pal 16s. With Ocean Feet.
Yeah, that'll kill some casters.
Right, like, so this list can get through the armor. It denies a lot of melee forces because it has the two ticks with, what's it called? Polarity Shield? Yes. Or Polarity Field, sorry. Yeah. There's just a lot this list takes away, and then the ticks have themselves Carapace, so it's tough to shoot them off the table. And then the another kind of tough part about this list is that it's paired with 30 halbs. So yeah. It's a real question of what are you playing against?
It's actually like 36 halbs, right? When you count the UAs.
Well, sure. Yeah.
And then also a space tick. Yeah, like that's so hard. I don't know how you deal with two fucking space ticks. Like, getting one off the table is hard enough.
Well, you have to. So the space.
I can tell you, Crix doesn't.
the space tick's kind of funny because it almost rewards very clean play, but if you accidentally leave a heavy or anything anywhere near it and let them charge, and charge into where they can get both.
What do you mean?
Oh,
because you can charge the shit around it. So if someone leaves
didn't say either
staff or something around it
is like, say you put Fortune on a tick, it can just try and slam shots through your caster.
Yep.
Like. Pretty much guaranteeing the hit between the rerolls to hit and just slam over your caster. Now you're knocked down. I have the second tick to go, and then the Nishunter shoot, and Iris 1 gets off your focus, like, automatically.
I think John said this on Muse, but I actually didn't know it, that the space tick does not have dual attack.
No, it does not. That's what I'm saying. So you charge. What you do is you charge a support staff next to it, and now you've engaged it.
Right. You send in, like, three guys super wide on him, two on the 90-degree arc, 180-degree arc, so one in the front.
Yep.
And then it can shoot them, but it can't shoot out.
Correct.
Which is,
Put it in, like, the back from the Crix world, I think the only list you can really play into it is one, like, Black Industries is a good start. Like, just a lot of jacks so you can get to melee and then stand in front of it.
Yep. Yeah, and, of course, that's relying on the rep player putting some support staff or units near the tick. To let you get to it. It should be on the other side of the table completely by itself.
Funny enough, you know what beats the shit out of Black Industries? Alara 230 Hound.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Who's next?
I don't necessarily need to talk about the lists, but the most popular Merc pair is Gaston 2 and Ashlyn, both in Lely's resistance.
Mm-hmm.
So, not looking forward to that.
I got another one. If I
go ahead, take it.
Sweet shit. We'll keep going with me then. If we go to Frickin' Friends,
mm-hmm.
And we go down to Zach Killer Coffee.
Yep.
So we have his second list, Old Witch 2 in the Winter Guard command, using a Victor, Kovnik Joe, a Widowmaker marksman, the Winter Guard artillery captain, Ayana and Holt with Valachev on them, then the mortar crew, Winter Guard mortar crew, and then triple Min rifle corps, all with three rockets. So from watching not this exact list, maybe it was this exact list, but I don't think it was this exact list, being run by Bubba Dalton at War Machine Weekend, the downtown assassination threat that this list has is straight fucking bonkers.
Did he have a Victor?
I don't know. I don't think he had a Victor.
Victor makes this list really nasty, though.
You have Old Witch 2 feet. She balance charges herself. She then charges across the table just to any model. Then she can scourge from 13 inches away. So I don't know what all these threats are. She speed 6, I think, 8 with balance charge, charges 11, and then scourges up to 13 inches away.
But it doesn't matter. So, the range is 20 inches because that's what the rockets are going to get you at.
Well,
if you're within 20 of the rockets.
If you're within 20 inches of the rockets, you're in trouble.
She can, and not only that, she has scourge. She also has the blind gun, like in case she like wants to scourge the models in front of your caster and then just blind your caster. I think she also has the focus. If she balance charges herself for 1 scourge, she can, in theory, balance charge herself for 1, send out 2 scourges, both of which won't be boosted hit if she's trying to knock down stuff in front and then your caster. And that would be all of her focus.
I mean, she will have rerolls, though, on,
yep,
on,
she'll
the,
have re-rolls.
On those. So she, they'll be unboosted, but they will be rerollable.
And then Victor can hit and toss his
20-inch
gun out.
And then Victor, with the Winter Guard artillery captain, I think can get artillerist.
Yep.
So
yep.
Can yep. Yep. Shoot his flare gun from a mile away and get rerolls to hit with that.
Yep.
On a knockdown caster. So, like, yes, I'm rat 1, but guess what? I need a 4.
Well, he's not rat 1.
Gives him plus
yeah,
2 rat.
He's not at rat 1 anymore. He's rat 3.
Shit. Yep. Now I hit all not snakes.
Yep.
Yep.
And he doesn't have to direct heat either. It's a 5-inch AOA that artillerist lets you reroll the deviations for.
Yeah. I'm just saying,
so
like,
even
this
if,
list.
Even if you miss, you're.
Yeah. Ask you where you put your caster, and if it's anywhere on the table, get fucked.
Yep. If you're in the kill box, this thing can kill you.
Yeah. It's absolutely brutal. It's such a range dominoes. And not only that, like, it's tough to play the range game against it because she just puts up her fucking. Kruger 2, all your guns get less range, and my control area is 18 inches. So you have to get to melee with her, which 16, into a gun line isn't
inches.
The easiest choice. Is it 16?
16. She's only focused 7.
Right? So 14, doesn't her thing give her plus 4 inches of control?
I thought it was plus 2. Oh, I could be wrong. Maybe it is 18. Okay, it is 18.
I think
it's never
plus
mind.
4.
It is plus 4. You're right.
Yeah, so
she's getting shit wrong everywhere.
That's all right, I got it. So it's plus 4 inches of the control area on with a spell that just turns off your shooting for the most part. So, like, range dominance, the ability to shave off the front layers because of Scourge and the blind guns, and then, like, multiple AoEs. Like, it is brutal.
The thing that people forget about, too, when they start looking at the Winter Guard, they go, oh, my God, the rockets, oh, my God, the rockets. Those CRAs from the rifles are going to hurt, too.
Yeah, 100%. Like, if you allow one to aim, like, it goes to a 7, and you do 2-man CRAs, I think you get to rat 9s. They're base rat 5, right?
Yep, they're base rat 5.
Yeah,
and
so
Joe can always plus 2 them.
Yep.
Might be a little overkill, but sure, 100%. So you can get, like, rat 11 2-man CRAs at pal 12. Mm-hmm. Like, that'll shave off the front line of infantry units.
Well, that'll also take out a caster who's still kind of alive. And, you know,
yeah, 100%.
Has,
like,
or
rat
warlock.
9 if you're walking.
Mm-hmm. Yep, walk up with the plus 2, rat 9, 2-man CRAs. Pal 12s kill casters these days.
And you have friendly faction harm in the list. Like, Old Witch does all of her shit to knock down your caster, and then, like, walk out and hold forward, then you Zephyr them.
Yep.
You land a kiss on a knockdown blinded caster.
Yep.
Who might also be flared at this point.
So let's just call it at 19 inches, you just die.
Right, like, terrain is your best friend. Yep. You have to hide behind something. Because if you're on a hill, if you're behind a wall, if you're in a trench, you're dead.
Yep.
All right, I got one. if we're ready. We're going to go down to the Flannel Elite, and we're going to go to Ryan Babcock playing Scorn. Oh. And he has Zadesh 2 Imperial Warhost paired with Jalam Masters of War. And that's the list I want to talk about. So he's got Jalam with two Archidons, a Titan Gladiator, an Extolar Soul Ward, Max Satrati with Vorkesh, Max Incendiari, Legends of Halak, Min Beast Handlers, Max Swordsman with UA, and double Ticom.
Hmm.
So, yeah, I don't know. I don't have. I mean, you got Deadeye for the Incendiari. You can give Pathfinder and Prowl out. His feet just makes it so that they might actually just not get hit because
that and the Legends of Halak become nightmares.
Yes, Legends of Halak become nightmare. Yeah, but even fuck defense 11 starts to become like a problem if you're Matt 6. You're like, I need fives. If you can't boost, get fucked.
And then there's two Archidons, like defense 14 models that won't let's die to hit and have extended control range. Yes. So they're all the way the fuck out there.
Yep.
Because I think Jalam feat says that friendly faction models in his control area.
Yeah, so they benefit from it.
So the Archidon can be all the way the fuck out there.
Yep.
I don't think the enemy models have to be in.
It's when an enemy model makes an attack roll against a friendly faction model in Jalam's control
range. So the Archidons are protected.
Yes. enemy model rolls one less die.
Oh, yeah, God.
It's almost similar to the Una 2, fly all my griffins around your warcaster from before. Jalam goes forward, feats. The Archidons fly over your entire army and stand next to your caster. They're defense 14, but defense 12 against free strikes, but you're only getting one die to hit them.
And he also has Warpath. There's just a lot of stuff.
That seems really close. Now, to be fair, there's some stuff of your caster can boost, so if you can't do it to a butcher or something like that. Whereas Una, the broken version of Una, could. If their caster's not a melee monster, do the Archidons, are they able to just end a caster if you get three or four of them around a caster?
The problem is they're mat 6.
But they have crit pitch.
They do have crit pitch, but they only have one initial and they're mat 6. 15.
Yeah, without the flank in there too, I don't know if that gets us on.
Don't.
But here's the thing though, right? Let's pretend we're on the table real quick and an opponent does this to you. You can't just ignore them. You can't play your turn normal, I'm going to pass these spells, I'm going to put focus out here. You're almost forced to camp or to kill them, and it's under Jalam feet. They're just there.
Yeah, that is the important thing right there. You get them in and then feet, and now your caster is just sitting there, and they get two turns to be in your grill.
You're not allowed to just do your turn as normal. If you spend down to one focus or one fury or two focus, two fury, they have the ability to one lands a crit pitch and throws you, then the other one activates and makes its initial, boosts the damage, buys an attack, boosts the damage, and your caster's just dead.
Yeah, and he only has two, but if you run a list with four or five of them, just have them power attack headbutt until they knock them down.
Do they have parry?
No.
No, okay.
Also, not forgetting.
That's what I'm saying, though. Jalam feats, then they all run. You get to make free strikes, but you're only getting one die to do it.
Mm, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. He also has Artifice of Deviation, so into a gun line or into guns. If he can throw something in there and get the cover, you're just not hitting. Ever.
Yeah, that's fair.
Unfortunately, it's 5-inch AoE with completely within, that's not going to
help ruin that. They ruined that spell.
Yeah. I think that list was really cool. So, does anyone have any more? Brad, we were going to get into your other topic. I think we're going to have to push that off to next week because we're
fine.
Already well over an hour. So, at that point...
I do have one more list I want to talk about. Real quick.
At this point, let's go through and do a couple more. Go ahead.
Because I want to applaud him. So, it's grossly overconfident. Mr. Stephen King, he's playing Circle. he has both of his lists are in Bones of Orbros, which is interesting. But his second list is Bradagus Thorol the Rune Carver.
Yep.
So it's really neat to see him hit the table. Stephen has a Megalith, a Guardian, 1, 2, 3 World Rites, 2 World Wardens. I'm sorry, 3 World Wardens.
Yeah.
Then he's got 2 Stone Shapers, 2 Wayfarers, and 2 Shifting Stones.
Wow, that's basically just Mark II World War, isn't it?
Yeah, well, get ready for Wold Whites, though.
Yeah, Wold Whites.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Those things in our fucking synergy hit like a Mack truck.
Yeah, what do they get up to, like 17?
I think it's 17, right?
What are they base?
They are 10 base.
10 base, 12 from the Stone Shaper, 15 from synergy, and if they light themselves on fire, they're boosted. They're fully boosted.
That's what it is, yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah, for 5 fucking points.
They might beat out Galvanizers. I may have lost the best 5-point light.
Yep, and their shield guards.
No, because I think with the boxes that you get on Galvanizers, these and things the only Wold, have like 12.
Wold Wardens are the Ram guys, right?
No, Wardens are the Megalith.
Yeah, they're the Geomancy.
So what is he geomancing off Radagast?
That's a
rift.
That's a lot of rifts. That's a lot of magic attacks, actually.
Yeah, good point.
Is that it? Is that all you're...
Yeah, that's all you're doing. You're throwing out... Hope you brought an answer for Pathfinder. Manoth Jacks are going to be real unhappy.
Well, and also, too, he has Battering Ram.
Yeah, Battering Ram. So that's what I was looking at.
There's a cute scenario play in which he can, you know, Battering Ram something out. And fun fact, it doesn't say that a model can only be moved once with Battering Ram.
Yes.
So...
Yeah, actually, I did that once with Siege, where I was like, I really need to score this zone, Battering Ram, like, get out of here.
Yeah.
Not optimal, but sometimes. Wold Warden. Yeah. That is a really cool list. I'm not excited for Wold.
So what's funny is I played Steven at Top Deck this weekend, and he brought Kruger to, and I think he brought Bradagus, and his plan was to practice Bradagus and play Kruger 2 every round.
Yep.
It's just
I know that feeling.
Yeah, his Kruger 2 list is interesting too, because it's Bones, Megalith, Warden, Wold Wrath, Wold Weird, and then he's got Stone Shaper, 2 Wayfarers, Elish, Garrity, Gallows Grove, and then 2 Shifting Stones.
That is a surprising amount of gunfire coming out of that list, actually.
Yup.
Jesus. Like, you wouldn't really think it, but that's a lot of incredibly accurate gunfire.
Yep.
Not a lot to hold stuff with, but I mean, Megalith's good for that, I guess.
Well, yeah, and you've got all the TKs.
It's going to be less about holding a line and more about just controlling where that line is.
Yeah. Either that, or you're going to be pulling stuff forward and then having a Wold Wrath just beat the crap out of it.
Yeah.
I agree.
Oh, I've got one more. Ready. Yellow Team Field Day 2013, all the way at the bottom. Chris Chambers is Kador.
Real quick, do you know why they named themselves that?
I don't know. That sounds like a thing from like middle school.
So Chris Chambers in 2013 apparently ran a field day, and he had extra shirts. So he's giving shirts to his team. So they're all going to be wearing yellow Field Day shirts.
Nice.
That's the only reason their team's named that.
Makes sense. So he has Sorcial 1 and Winter Guard Command paired with Strakoff 2 and Armored Corpse. So that's the list I want to talk about.
It's Armored Core. You don't say the P in that word, Grant.
It's not Marine Corpse.
You're a corpse.
Shut up, Grant.
Bitch. All right, Armored Core. Strakoff 2. He's got 2 Kodiaks as his battle group.
Yes!
2 Man of War Dracoons. 2 Man of War Kovniks. Saxon Auric. Min Mechanics with UA, Max Bombardiers, Min Shock Troopers with UA, and then Max Shock Troopers.
I have a feeling that the UA was supposed to be on the Max unit, and as we found out when you were putting my lists in on Conflict Chamber, that you have to move it down.
Yeah. Conflict Chamber can get a little weird. With
I have a feeling that Max, that Min squad is supposed to be his stay in the back.
Yeah, when you go to add an attachment, sometimes it just defaults into
the highest one.
First
it's the highest one you can go to.
So, Chris, it's not too late. Get in touch with Ireland about it.
I'll message him on Facebook.
I honestly just wouldn't give him. If he came and was like, this is supposed
to be
there,
but
I wouldn't give him shit.
You wouldn't give him shit.
I'm going to tell him to fuck off, and his lists are what they are.
Yeah, I wouldn't do that because I'm pretty sure that's the intention as well.
I really like that list. So I've been staying away from Kador specifically because I want to play the Armored Core list. And... until the tankers come out, I feel like it's missing. It's too weak into the infantry. There's too many things that it's just not good into. That list looks like just an absolute blast, though. Ugh, I love having bombardiers. They need something, but I don't know what it is yet. But It's awesome to see them on the table.
Well, maybe he didn't mean, because Strakhov does have Invaluable Resolve, so maybe he didn't.
Invaluable Resolve the large squad and then have the small squad have the...
Yeah, have the UA.
Yeah, I'd still want the assault. I'd rather still have the assault and stuff, though.
One of them is going to get Invaluable Resolve and one of them has the UA, right? So, like, it's... Either way, they're not getting pushed or slammed.
Yeah, the CA. So maybe they're a scenario piece. They're going to sit in the back of a zone and say, can you deal with them?
Well, I mean, that's what I used my Mana Wars for before the whole themes came in.
Yeah, I like that a lot with Last Stand, Quicken, and then his feet plus the arm.
I can't imagine he's going to use Last Stand a lot.
No, probably not. I'm just saying. I like that option.
Quicken could be a lot of fun on the Bombardiers, actually. Letting them get up the table and get where they can get those guns onto targets. It's going to be kind of cute.
I remember seeing that when I was going through and looking and prepping my list, and I was like, a Strakhov too, and fucking with Mana Wars. No shit. Like, good for you.
Last Stand is pretty good on those Kodiaks if they're almost dead.
That is true. That is true. I did have the pleasure of last standing a victor in the first game I played with Strakhov too, which was quite funny. It had 4 health left. I last standed it.
Yeah, that's a good move.
All right. Does anybody else have anything? I mean, we kind of hit a bunch. Is there anything else everybody's that you looked through and maybe liked?
No, I'm excited to play it. I am looking forward to this weekend. I want to talk a good bit about how it went that day. Did we go over the way that this pairing process goes? For the map,
I feel like we may have talked about that at some point, but if somebody wants to recap, I don't see a problem.
Yeah, I'll
take
care of it. Sure. So the mat is going to be using what Ireland called the German style for pairing teams, wherein two teams of three will get paired against each other with three tables in front of them. The teams will then roll off. Really, whichever team wins gets to choose which end of the row of three tables they want. So with that being said, let's say we win the roll. We want to choose the table on the left. The team that lost will get the table on the right. We put one of our three players face down on that table. They then put one of their three players face down on the table that they received. At which point the teams exchange players that are pushed face down are flipped face up, so now that we know who's where. The teams then get to pick which of their opponents they're going to play against. And whichever one they don't pick goes in the middle table. So the middle table is kind of a crapshoot of whoever wasn't chosen to be face down and who wasn't chosen to be played against their face down player. So in this format, each team gets to pick one matchup and gets to dodge in effect one matchup. Yes. And it's kind of the same game. So it's...
So in theory, it's more balanced than the WTC style in the sense that everybody picks one, gets a dodge, and then gets a question mark. In that same respect, prepping for the event is obviously not the same because you can't. It's a little more.
There's less pre-planned strategy and more reactive tactics.
Yeah, it's even in your list building, it's a lot different. It's a little more traditional than what you would normally bring to a format like this, I think.
Than to a WTC format.
Yes,
yeah, absolutely. I mean, because in a WTC format, you can almost guarantee a dodge at least one. So you can really be a little more specific about what you're building.
Yep. So that is how this is going to play out, and we will see how that goes. I'm excited. I have never played in that type of format, but the WTC style that they ran at the Brawl I felt was super successful and had a blast with that. So I'll be really excited to see which of those I enjoy more.
I'll be honest, for teams of three, I think I like this version better.
Yeah, you've played both, so.
Yeah, the reasoning is like the die roll to see who gets to pick two of the three matchups is like tremendously important. Wherein in this... you're not doing that. All you're doing is rolling, so you get to choose which end table you get, which is perfectly fine. Like, getting an end table can give you a decent matchup. Say, for example, right, just to put it on a hypothetical, Grant, we put you face down on one of the end tables, right? And it's a table that is one of the few tables in the room that may not have a line of sight blocking piece of terrain in the middle. and there's not really a good list that they would have to play against your Siege 1. Well, now your Siege 1 gets to have a fucking field day because there's no terrain for things to hide behind. So to me, that seems like a great way to try to
balance it out a little bit,
bring some balance to it. Because if you're on the side where we do WTC pairings and you get to choose one of the three matchups and tables, like the table end of that where you can get like Grant on the table we want is fine, but the two games that you don't get to pick is like a huge imbalance.
Right.
Yeah, I think this format just lends itself to teams of three much better than the WTC styles. Not that there's anything wrong with the WTC style. I think it just works better for teams of five and I guess larger if you ever go more than that, but I doubt you would.
Right, right. So that's it. Anybody got anything else? Anything off topic they want to bullshit about? Or are we going to say that's a cast?
Yeah, no, I'm just I'm working my way up to 9 Slayers so I can run that piece of jank list.
You missed out on that Black Friday sale.
Yeah, it's all right. I'm just, working my way up slowly.
You're just going to win them all?
So, yeah, I mean, I was in from the computer and I was sitting there. I was like, I can just order all these Slayers. But, like, I don't have any desire to play this list immediately. And I'll just get them slowly over time. Like, I don't need them all now. Plus, if I ever wanted to, between the couple of Crix players down here that I know, including Grant's collection still, yep. Like I can borrow up to 9 Slayers. I don't need to own them all right now. I'll get them slowly and I'll save the money a little bit.
Yeah. Pete, what are you buying? You're always buying
something.
I am
on lockdown because I have way too much shit.
You were on lockdown before.
No,
he bought three more.
Trish makes him buy the stuff and she wants it.
So, Pete, what do you want? I'll tell Trish about it and she'll tell you to get it.
Yeah.
No, I'm good for right now because I do have to paint a ton of stuff. But I did commit to a Cole Grima 100 game quest.
Wow.
So based off the advice from Tim Bankey.
What does he know?
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know why I'm following it. But basically, he recommends that if you really want to understand a caster, then you should commit to 100 games. So I have three under my belt. I'm going to be documenting them on the Not Snakes Gaming page on Facebook and trying to keep track of them there. So it should be fun going forward.
Yeah.
How many have you gotten so far?
Three.
How'd you do so far?
I am 1-2. So the first game was against Grimkin. It was Heretic. Pretty fun. It's interesting, though, because you're like, all right, I'm going to feat. I'm going to remove all your Pathfinder. I'm going to remove all your Eyeless Sight. And there's going to be all these clouds. And then Grim can activate. And they go, oh, I'm going to cast Bushwhack and have Pathfinder back. And I'm going to have my...
The feat and same models can't gain Pathfinder?
No, it's a pulse.
Yep.
That's annoying.
Yeah. So it's interesting. Just already seeing out of, cause I played Kaya 3 with it. And that was a brutal game. And then I played, Testament, I did my mat list. So I've got, a couple brawlers. I forgot what was in there. But I do have, Dahlia and Scareth in there. And so, I figured out a crazy assassination run, and on 4 dice to hit with Dahlia or with Scareth, I missed Testament by 1.
Oh,
and
so
we rolled it all out to see what would happen. Cause the good answer would be to, stop the assassination run right there and wait out the rest of the game. But we went ahead and rolled it out cause it was getting late anyway. And I would have killed him easily with, the frost hammers and or the frost sprays, whatever they are from Cole Grima, and the snake spray.
What did you need? Do you remember the number you needed that you missed by 1?
I don't. Because he's a rat 6, and he's a 14. Is he a 14?
4 dice to hit is so you're hitting a defense 20 and you missed by 1.
No.
Or that's I'm saying that's the average. Is the average would be a 20 when dice plus 6. So that's, and he's a 14. So that's, so then, I mean, you were so far below average. That's priceless.
Yeah, holy crap. It was one of those where I'm like, oh wow, okay, moving on. You know, and we just rolled it to see what would happen. So yeah, I'm pretty excited to try to investigate more with Colgrimma. Forward.
I think consensus is already that she's going to be really strong. So I think that's.
I'll be curious to see how fast stuff like the Mist Speaker and the Eyeless Sight with Alliance and Adrea. And I know that doesn't affect the whole game, but I'll be curious to see how fast that makes it into the lists where people are like, "Oh my God, the Cloud Walls are coming!" And they like, they have most solutions now for that play if you fit them in.
Yeah, I am going to say a 5-point unit does seem a little tough because they take up your Merc slot.
And they take away your Ion of Holt. They take away your, you know what I mean? They're taking a slot that is used.
But again, if
lists.
You're building the list specifically for these, this Colgrimma, you know, I need a Colgrimma answer. Like, I'm already, I mean, I can say this on air. It doesn't matter. I'm already looking through Pete's and I'm like, I don't know the fuck I do to Colgrimma.
I will admit. So we just looked through. Now the mat is not a traditional steamroller event. Yeah. There is some, it's not quite as untraditional as I think WTC is because of this pairing style, but it's not a true steamroller either. And we were just talking about the C ideas. Have we hit a point now where if you're sitting down and making a list and your objective is, I need a Colgrimma answer, you've already made a mistake because that's one person. That might be one list at an event instead of it being like,
you're talking about in this particular format?
No, I just mean in general. Have we hit the point now where they're starting to get so tight with the, like, you need a Maloch answer, if, you know what I mean? Or you need a Jaga Jaga answer at that. Like, I mean,
I think you're thinking too far into it. I think for the most part, like Maloch, to use that first example, is a list that wants to skew armor in boxes. I think when you talk about like Colgrimma now, it's a list that wants to prey on gun lines, like just make it so you don't get shot off the table. Like, you don't look to answer every specific list. You look to answer lists like archetypes.
Yeah.
Yeah. But then does that get away? Because in Mark II, you needed a Haley II answer. You didn't need an archetype answer. You needed a, I'm going to see Haley II at this event.
Did you know? Like,
something.
I mean this seriously. Like, yes. Her feet removed a turn, but like, if you were a list that was, not all jacks, like, you had a decent shot into her. Like, a lot of infantry was tough for Haley to always get through.
No.
This goes back to our top 10, right? Like, we all agree that there are powerful casters, but we're getting to the point now where there's almost no top major boogeyman, right?
Once you take Denny one out, although I still think it might be Coven, but you take those two things out, what is your answer to that? Like, I think you're right, Pete.
Yeah, so I'm just trying to reinforce what Brad is saying. So then we start turning into list archetypes. You turn into a, you know, Death Spam with Madrak 1. You turn into a Recursion Spam with Ghost Fleet. So I don't think you need to start having a purely Colgrimma answer unless, you know, that is just somebody who's dominating your meta.
Well, I mean, obviously this is trying to apply a general statement. And the general statement is we've moved past the point where we need specific answers. And it is, you have to start answering toward the archetype. But obviously, if you're talking about your local game store and there's one guy in there who is big dick meta guy and they happen to run caster A, then yeah, you have to be able to answer
caster
A. If
you were going to go nationally, like Captain Con is coming up, I believe in your pairing, you have to have an answer if you're playing in standard issue. Obviously not champions. I think you have to at least know how you're going to handle Colgrimma / Haley 3. I don't think you can just go in blind with building a list pair and not at least have thought about how to deal with that type of list.
Well, that type of those two casters specifically.
Well,
there's
those
other
are
casters,
the two.
Well, there's other casters that can put out the big cloud wall. The Scorn guy can put out the big cloud wall.
Yeah.
Zerkova can put out the big cloud wall.
I don't know that she's. I don't know that that's one that I would be in my mind being like, oh yeah.
Which,
like,
is funny because she's got a very similar kit to Colgrimma. She can put out a massive cloud wall, and she can basically say you don't get to shoot for a turn. It's not as good. I'm not saying it is a slightly different list, but I just find it funny that it's like you have to have a Colgrimma list, but that Zerkova one, it's because it's not popular. But
and to hop back to the Haley 2, I believe most of the top tier players all said that yes, you had to have a Haley 2 drop in your pair in Mark II. I don't know because I played her.
Mark II seemed so far away. It's tough to remember.
Right, but I mean that was generally the consensus was everyone had to yes you had to have.
Because well, it wasn't just Haley. I used that as the obvious example.
There was
several casters that was like she was you didn't need an archetype answer. You needed a this
you needed
answer.
Caster answers.
Yeah,
now,
it was a little
now
different.
I think it might be a more
it is archetype answer.
Yeah.
Okay. I just wanted to bring it up. It seemed like something interesting to throw at the end there.
No, I mean, I think you're right. I think if you're going to a normal event and going, fuck, I got to build a cult Grimma list, yeah, I think you fucked up. But I think if you're thinking about Haley 2,
I'll be honest,
Haley 3, a cult
part of,
Grimma.
Part of what makes me think of it is one of my lists is really designed specifically to go into Crick's single wound infantry. And there's none of that here.
Well, Haley 3, but yeah.
It plays well into other things.
Yeah.
There's fucking 50 Creel warriors. Have fun.
Yeah right. Yeah.
And 40 halbs.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see how it plays into those.
So, all right. I think that's a cast. If you made it this far, thanks for hanging in there. And next week we'll talk about the mat in depth, and then we'll talk about if we have time, we'll jump in. We have a couple.
Did you order that back brace? Because you're going to be carrying my ass this weekend.
Carrying anybody? Brad's carrying us. Like Brad's. All you and me need to do is zig and zag. Like Brad wins out, and you and me just have to. One of us has to win. That's it. We can do that. It's not that hard.
That's the goal, is that I'll throw on a backpack, and you guys just both can't lose at the same time.
Fucking yode it right up in this backpack.
Just got to zig and zag, buddy. We got this.
All right.
We'll be fine. All right. Thanks for listening. I'm Grant.
I'm Ryan.
I'm Pete.
I'm Brad.
I was going to say something else, but I said thanks for listening first. Fuck. I'm out.